Amen and amen. If you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Sabbath day. And thank you for teaching us how to keep it holy. Thank you for blessing us with your presence when we gather to read your word and to learn your will for our lives. We thank you for the answered prayers, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing from all unrighteousness, the latter rain, faith that moves the mountains, character of your Son, a peace in our hearts, and a desire to make you smile. Please bless us with your continued presence throughout this service. Give us what we need this Sabbath day to grow in Christ, so that we can be worthy receptacles of that rain and go forth as your prophecy says your people will. And we lift this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked." You know, love moves the heart to obey, and it even moves the heart to emulate the walk of Jesus. In the remnant of her seed is a body of believers that strive unto that divine nature that Christ has so promised us, that not only will we be part of the Gideon band, we hope, but to be of that number that glorifies the Lord before the entire watching universe. A walk that is based on self-confidence and selfishness of heart, you know, it's absolutely worthless and must be overcome at all costs. The true Christian can only be a follower of Jesus Christ. This means we are to walk in the light he taught us to walk in. I mean, our hearts must be always open to receive every utterance of his truth. Without this deep willingness to do so, that perfect peace he promised can never be experienced by the one claiming that Christ is Lord. You know, when Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that except a man be, you know, John chapter 3, verse 3, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, he meant nothing short of a genuine conversion must be present in the heart. Else all that was enticing in the flesh yesterday would still be just as tempting tomorrow. You must literally be born again, as if your old ways are now completely foreign to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." The truth of the Bible, which is the Word made flesh, is an anchor to the soul that seeks to please the author of that Bible. Only an obedient heart and the desire to walk in the light of truth will grant the wisdom which comes from God that allows that anchor to become a true reality in your life. When we are unable to come to the place we want to be, or we are unable to be the overcomers that we seek to be, because, you know, we fail in the trials that are sent our way, we declare to the Lord that he needs to allow someone else to perform the task, because we're just too weak to do so. We're not up for the task. But if we overcome the big and the small trials, no matter what they be, we show a willingness to do as our King commands, so as to not only glorify him, but help others seek a better walk as well. I mean, after all, sharing our faith isn't always about what we say. More often than not, it's about what we don't say that gets Christ noticed. We have all witnessed how some watch us like hawks once they find out we're Christians. Some watch to seek a way to ridicule and slander us, of course, yeah, but still others watch to see if Christ is real and worthy of following. I mean, how often have you heard me say that most of us are the only Bible some people are going to read? Luke chapter 5, verses 33 to 39 says, "And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast, while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come, when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And then he also spake a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles, and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better." You know, because it's amazing all the things that are shown here. And for those young that don't understand what he's saying here when he says bottles, they were the stomachs of animals, usually. And that's what it was called, a bottle. They would just sew it up and stuff like that. And when new wine or grape juice is put inside one of those bottles, gas is released from the new wine as it gets older and older and older. That's called fermentation. And when the gas released, well, guess what? They've got the thing capped. So it's going to swell it more and more and more. But if it's a new bottle and new wine's in the new bottle, well, yeah, it's not going to burst because it's designed to swell with it. But after a while, you use this thing, and over again, you keep stretching it. And then one day you put new wine in it again, and it's just going to burst because it's going to stretch to the point that it wasn't designed to stretch to. But the fact of the matter here is the Pharisees were getting in Christ's face here about how their disciples fasted, but his didn't. Well, the truth is their ceremonies, their rituals, their false doctrines are like old wine and old wineskins. And as we know, wine equals doctrine and prophecy. And so Jesus, for all intents and purposes, was sharing a new doctrine which needed a completely new skin. Now, of course, the doctrine of Jesus was not new, but the Jews had forgotten it for so long it was new to them. This is the exact same approach that was penned in 1 John chapter 2, verse 8, that I mentioned a few moments ago, where it says, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth." I mean, because we have walked away from our evil past, that darkness that kept us stumbling around in our walk is most assuredly past. And the doctrine of old is now become new to us because we're able to view it now, clearly, because we're on a well-lit path. And this is also why it is possible for what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, to come to fruition, where he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I mean, the truth we embrace, the life we display before onlookers, and the light we watch for on the path must be as our Lord has illustrated in his word. It has to be bright enough for us to see the path that he has us on, as well as bright enough for the seeker to see Christ in us. It cannot be mixed with the world in any way, shape, or form. If it is, like the old wineskins with the new wine within them, it's going to burst. We will eventually fail, like the wineskin, to hold on to the doctrines he has ordained, because the flesh we now love to pander after, with all the lies that we trust, will force us to do as Proverbs 26:11 says, "As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." I mean, after all, 1 Corinthians 10:21 also says, "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils." We know by simply reading the daily news that we most assuredly are in the last days. As prophesied, we see the false preachers, the false teachers, and even a couple of dozen demon-possessed humans out there that claim that they're Jesus Christ himself walking on the earth. We see the days of Lot are all around us because of the homosexual marriage is accepted by all secular and religious leaders as the norm now. We see the earthquakes have increased to nearly 1,500 a week on average, with the occasional week that surpasses that number by hundreds. And then last night, I think Brother Daniel shared it was like 1,573 or something like that. For this week, we see all the churches forsaking the law of God. We see the love of many waxing very cold. We see Christian persecution has grown to one Christian being killed every 2 minutes for their faith. We see the animals, the insects, the fish, the birds, they're all dying in massive numbers all around the world, just like the prophet Hosea predicted they would be. And we see the weather has turned our planet into a strange new world, especially in my neck of the woods, where the polar vortex has decided to rest, locking winter in for at least 6 to 8 weeks longer in our area. And then calamities in nature, as well as man-made disasters, are occurring so often now it's impossible for us to keep up with them. We now see so many new diseases popping up that scientists literally can't keep track of them, so they're using supercomputers to do so. We see the image of the beast form as prophesied by all lukewarm churches. We see seducing spirits of all kinds manipulating disobedient souls every minute of the day, using everything from psychic readings to like demonic music, whatever. We see the mainstream media purposely doing all they can to hide the prophetic events so as to have that air of peace and safety that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 predicted they would. And we see the new world order established wherein the Club of Rome now controls the planet via 10 separate regions, just as prophecy predicted more than once. We see Sunday laws being drafted into every constitution of every nation on earth. We see the tools needed to enforce the mark of the beast have all been invented and even tested by most governments already. And when it comes to signs in the heavens, how about that meteor that thundered through the atmosphere, devastating all sorts of buildings, busting windows and knocking a wall down on one of them in Russia? And that was a fairly small meteor. And then we can't forget about that cloud that's moving closer to the Earth from the Orion Nebula. And then, a couple, 3 weeks ago, the Pope is appealing to all Protestant leaders, evangelical leaders, to come back to Mother Rome, declaring Luther's protest is over. So that being said, is it any wonder Satan's going to do all he can to hinder the work of the remnant people, prophecy said, that are going to be out there proclaiming the loud cry? I mean, brothers and sisters, we need that closer walk with Jesus right now more than ever before. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11 says, "Humble yourselves, and therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Do you want that latter rain upon you more abundantly? In due time? Well, then humble yourselves. He goes on to say that you should be casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I mean, we cannot afford to drag our Christian feet to get a piece of the worldly pie so as to seek out what the world has to offer. I mean, look around. It's literally crumbling all around us. What can this dying world offer? Eternal beings such as us, as we're prophesied to be. I mean, what has it got to offer? We can't afford to allow Satan to tempt us to think we will consider strengthening our faith later when we're old and gray. Let's just get some fun out there now. We may never even reach that time. There's all sorts of ways that may prevent us from reaching that point in time anyway. I mean, everything from a mere accident causing us to die before old age to the eastern sky itself splitting long before we grow old and gray. And no, I'm not predicting any dates here, but look around. If we are obedient students of prophecy, we do know what season we stand in. We must love He who first loved us. If you don't love Him yet, then I suggest a deep study into who Jesus Christ truly is. Once you do so, He will make Himself known to you, and you will have that song in your heart that only the Gideon band can sing. Our Lord's plan is the only safe one to be on. I mean, just as the soldier on the front line trusts his life with his commanding officer, we too must trust our Lord, Savior, and King as we stand as soldiers in this holy war, the holy war we find ourselves in. I mean, after all, He loves us much more than that Brigadier General does. Our Lord declares, "Behold, I make all things new," right? And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I don't see any gray areas mentioned here at all. Jesus isn't saying, "I trust you to do the work along with your sinful traits to garner souls for heaven." No, we must be completely born again. We must be that new creature His Spirit moves us to be. That's why you feel that grieving or that guilt every now and then. He's fine-tuning your walk. Let Him. Take His advice. Run with it. We cannot be made up mostly of self with just a little bit of Jesus. I mean, look around. That is how they are all walking in the apostate churches that we left. Don't you recall how they disfellowshipped you because you wanted a closer walk with Jesus? They ridiculed you. They tried you. They even mocked you when you shared the love of Christ with those that the Spirit led to you. Some of you were asked to leave your churches because you tried to help them see the sin they were in. I mean, 30-some years ago, I recall my pastor telling me to stop reading the Bible because he said, and I quote, "It's confusing me." But the truth was, what he just said was confusing to me. The Bible's truth, and it in no way is confusing to the heart that is touched by it. We must not allow the world to suggest we can be Christian and still be cool with your non-Christian friends, or still be a comrade in iron with your drinking friends, or still be Mr. Macho with your buds. Christianity is not a mix of Christ and the world. That's actually the definition of Babylon. In fact, that's what Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1, or the Laodicean church of today is all about. "We must let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus," it says in Philippians 2:5. In the heart of our Lord, Savior, and King is absolute perfect harmony with our loving Father in heaven. Only there is the experience of perfect peace going to be realized. Once there, nothing the world has to offer can entice us to turn away from Him. Just because we can't touch Him or we can't see Him doesn't mean He ain't there. I mean, the fact your heart beats within you confirms His love is still all around you. Even the most intelligent scientists today cannot explain how life exists. I mean, they can give you their hypothesis and stuff like that, the electrical charge that keeps the heart going, kind of a thing. But if they could, you know, explain how life exists, really, honestly, without giving all the falderal, they would have created their own new life forms long ago, or last week. But because man grows complacent with his surroundings, something as simple as a heartbeat becomes the norm, as if it's just something that is, you know, no biggie. But when you sit down and ignore all that's around you, to be with He that keeps it beating in the first place, you begin to understand Him just a little bit more. He really is involved with you on that deep of a level. Each heartbeat is performed by His hand. And even when He allows the heart to stop, it's because He knows His obedient child's work is done and their time of rest has come upon them, so He can awaken them into eternal life and glory. But if you do not make a complete surrender to Him and shrink in your faith to grow in the world because of all that self-invented consequences you think warrant your attention more before making such a surrender, the peace you seek is never going to come to heart. And all that you desired in life will just simply pass on to someone else that He can trust to do the work. You know, I've learned over the years that it's always the love of self that brings unrest to the soul. When we are born again in Jesus Christ, we are given the same mind that was in Jesus that moved Him to humble Himself all the way to that cross. That same mind will then allow us to humble ourselves to that very same cross and therefore gain eternal salvation. Once there and walking with Him day by day, we will no longer seek the highest place among our peers. We won't need to be cool or macho anymore. In fact, that mind will move us to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of Him through His amazing eternal word. No longer will we need to prove ourselves to our friends, family members, or co-workers. When we walk with Jesus, our Lord, He'll be looking. Our Father will be looking upon us. with a smile, and that will be all we desire in life for all eternity. You know, I recall how decades ago the question was asked of me. That was, why are you giving up all this in life? I never forget that day. It's like it was yesterday. I mean, I'm not going to say who asked me that. It's no big deal. The question was, you have the talent to do this. You're also able to do that. You can even do well at these things to be a wealthy and comfortable person in life. But instead, you choose to work a humble job so as to concentrate on spreading the message of Christ. Are you kidding me? You're throwing your life away. And I had an answer to that person by saying, no. My life would be thrown away if I was to do those things you think can bring me riches and fame. What I do now will bring me eternal life, even if I was to live 1,000 years and made billions upon billions of dollars. What would it come to at the end of that 1,000 years? Nothing, right? You all just end up in dust, death, and damnation. What I do now, I can do forever. I mean, those other talents, I can only do as long as I have this mortal body. So no thanks. I would rather live with my Lord than die with his enemy. In fact, I'm reminded by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, in other words, when he came into his own and started to understand what his reason for being was, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. And for those of you that are trying to figure out what the word season means in prophecy, you just got your answer. It means a lifetime. So how could I be asked, seriously, to turn my back on him after he has done so much for me over the years? In my lifetime alone. And I'm not that old. I've seen him bless me with a loving wife, 8 beautiful children, and 5 precious grandchildren. I saw him send an angel to save the life of one of my daughters when she was just a toddler and heal another daughter of surgical paralysis. We've even seen, all of us have seen, him rise one of my sons off his deathbed. And everyone in my life saw him change my mind to follow him so many years ago. I've seen him send angels to prevent my death at the perfect moment more than a few times. I've seen him scare off marauders, for lack of a better term. I've even seen his truth open up to me in his word when clarity was needed. I've seen him answer prayers instantaneously, and I've seen him answer prayers slowly, too. I've seen demons cast out more than once, burns disappear, bones move back under the flesh, toothaches vanish instantly, headaches stop, severe cramps subside directly after prayer. I've seen strangers weep at his truth. Jail time and huge fines completely dismissed in courtrooms from hanging judges. I've seen tornadoes shift literally on track, on radar, twice. Well, 50 or so times, but on radar twice. I mean, I've even seen the strength of Samson when requested. I've seen dreams regarding his plans for me or my loved ones come to fruition. I've seen complete strangers and even atheists come to know him. And sadly, enemies actually die that sought to kill me. And this is only the tip of the mountain of the blessings that come to mind at present. I have literally hundreds more listed in my praise lists, compiled offline. This is awesome. Why? I mean, without even mentioning the amazing blessings witnessed by you, my brothers and sisters. During our testimony services, so I ask, how can the best career on earth, with the highest pay known to man, ever compare to that? And yeah, sometimes trusting him can be difficult and even confusing. But as we grow in faith and walk, you know, learn to walk closer with him, our trust will become, you know, second nature. And as Psalms 84:12 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You know, and I'm still sure the question is asked by those that are new to this faith, which is, is it always so blessed as I just described? Yeah, it is. But at the same time, it can be very difficult to wait in between the blessings. But that's not because our Lord's lacking. It's because our faith is weak, and our enemy is always seeking whom he may devour. As many have known lately, the attacks never end. What some in our number don't realize yet is I've been at the butt end of such attacks all my life, and especially after becoming a Christian. When I was young, I was, of course, bullied like many today are on a regular basis. I was also terrorized by the nuns, as I mentioned earlier, during study for years before my parents decided to remove us from the Catholic schools. But when I became a Christian, it became very extreme. Now, just to give you a quick idea of all that I've witnessed, and of course this is not exhaustive, I mean this is summarizing. I mean, I've seen all 10 of my siblings, both parents, disown me and ridicule me when I left the Roman Catholic Church to preach this present truth. Some even went so far as to terrorize my children. It was as if I saw Zechariah 13:3 being played out right before my eyes, which says, and it shall come to pass when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begot him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord, and his father and his mother that begot him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. They claim the truth is a lie, and therefore persecute to that end. Over the last 30 years, I've received many death threats, damage to personal property, threats against my wife, and yes, threats against my children. Some to this day still send letters to my home, try to generate fear within the family, pictures of our homes, too. Some years ago, we all witnessed, as a family, police enter our home, searching it, and questioning our children one by one after a so-called Christian lied about me because of the present truth I shared with them 24 hours earlier. That happened on day one of finding out of the truth about the real Sabbath and the real mark of the beast. I was so on fire when I found that out, I handed it to, you know, I did a study on it, and I handed it to who I thought was a Christian. And the next day, the police were at our home. He said we had our kids in cages, and we were feeding them raw meat. The cops had to follow up the lead. They thought he was telling the truth. I see some try to get me fired from jobs due to my faith. I was refused employment because of my desire to keep the Sabbath. Past church members actually tried to destroy my marriage. Even an old pastor friend of mine tried to preach my wife away from me by twisting the Word of God. Little did he know that my wife understood the Lord's voice, too, and knew what he was up to. I mean, during this whole time, the miracles and the blessings I've shared earlier started to occur so as to keep us on the path set before us. I mean, every time we felt overwhelmed, the Lord would send us that little hug. Then the internet came to town. And then, wow, did it ever get strange. I mean, instantly, four Roman Catholic priests convinced America Online to ban me from having any online presence whatsoever because they were the only game in town at that time. But even here, the Lord blessed us with a new service provider the very same day that we didn't even know existed. I mean, and that happened in Farmland, USA, wherein, for years, the only ISP that was ever available was AOL. And then Australian lawyers tried to sue my new ISP. Shortly thereafter, to get my website pulled, and a group of 11 men using a pseudo-name offered me $6 million to shut down the site. And that's when it was only 300 pages. It's pushing 11,000 now. My home location was posted on Catholic news groups with instructions on doing me harm. Then many graphic emails with vulgar pictures and viruses started to flood in weekly. Still to this day, I get all sorts of hate mails from so-called Christians in the Roman Catholic Church and the SDA churches combined. And if some of you recall, when the site was hacked just a little over a year back, what they posted on the main page, if you remember that, the music and that picture, you know, they just never stop. Once, I was subscribed to dozens and dozens of online services, from everything from, I don't know, pet care services to who knows. They just ran the gamut. They just literally, somebody subscribed me to dozens of these services so that it would take me literally days to unsubscribe from each and every one of them manually. Because that was before they would, when you would subscribe to something, that was before they sent out verification links to make sure that you subscribed in the first place. Then the heartstrings started to get yanked on. My loved ones started to send me hate mail, which was very heart-wrenching, to say the least. Over the years, I was hacked many times to try and stop the work. One such hack caused our chat room server to fail, if you remember, about a year ago. But I honestly believe the Lord allowed that one to happen so as to bless us with this much better setup that we have today, wherein any operating system can now enter the chat room. So, amen. And then some time ago, and before I had my own services, my servers in the house, my ISP was hacked twice in the hopes of getting to my site. And the only reason the ISP didn't bounce me to get me out of there, because, you know, we can't have you here because you're directing problems for us. Well, one of the hackers there was a friend of mine, so they even offered me a job there. And just yesterday, I got word that the remnantofgod.org was once again posted to a spam network, forcing the site to be blacklisted again. I mean, it's getting difficult to keep up with all this. So, please keep me in prayer there. Because I got to stay on top of everything, it seems. So, over the years, I've also seen many so-called friends in Christ who are actually anti-Christian infiltrators seeking to lure the brethren away from Christ. Before we had our own conference room here on our own servers, we saw numerous online chat services electronically move our church services, to hidden areas on their servers, and even shut down our online church meetings to prevent church members and even stragglers from coming in and finding us. There have been booklets written by professors of theology slandering me and the truth we embrace. One such professor insisted on making me aware of the fact that he wrote a book titled How to Deal with Guys Like Nicholas for his students. And then last I checked, 3 websites were dedicated to slander my character and my message over the years. Sadly, people I trusted and loved as Christian brethren for years have suddenly turned from our Lord and turned from the truth we embrace to such an extent that some have even sought to sue me and slander me, and some of my brothers and sisters before the masses, sending out mass emails or mass letters and snail mail. And still, even through all this, the Lord's love is still very much alive in my heart. And His gentle hugs still come each and every time I need them. And yes, just so you know, sadly, each and every one of those that have targeted me for the truth I preach have dealt with the Lord's wrath upon them in one way or another. Some have lost their ministries. Some have seen their faith disappear completely to where they even keep Sunday holy now. Some have been financially destroyed. Others have become homeless. Some have lost businesses. Some have started to solicit Satan's assistance in attacking me. And yes, as is difficult it is to say as it is to witness, some have even died. The Lord thy God was not kidding in the least when He said in Isaiah 54, verse 17, that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And yes, I'm very much aware that the attacks won't stop, and that a brand new crop of Sanballats will arise, and some attacks will swell up that will be even greater in size in the coming days. But then so will the graphic evidence that my Father's hand is still upon me as long as I stay obedient, as well as all of us. I mean, the truth is, looking back as I do from time to time, I realize that I would be a fool to give up now after witnessing his hand so graphically over the last 3 decades. Well, even before that, because even before I was a Christian, I can recall times that I saw him or knew of his presence. And yes, these trials test me in a big way sometimes. And yes, it can even be somewhat annoying at times. But when I think about the one soul that may not hear the truth so as to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we know truly does walk with those that who trust him, you know, I have no choice but to keep moving forward. I mean, after all, if it wasn't for the patriarchs and prophets or the apostles and even the common men and women of the faith who kept on that path for the last 6,000 years, none of us would have a Bible today. And I personally know, if it wasn't for a few Christians I witnessed the hand of God upon in my early walk, I never would have discovered what it means to walk with Jesus Christ our Lord. So yes, again, this path we find ourselves on can be rough at times, especially now since we are so very near the end. But never is it fearful, because it is plainly stated in Romans 8, verses 14 to 19, and I can't express this, and it says you got to please let this go deeply within your hearts. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So again, how could I walk away? How can any of us walk away from him when we see him standing so clearly beside us, just as he promised in Matthew 28:20, when he said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And especially now, since it really is the end of the world. I know I witnessed these attacks only because I choose to follow him and preach his word exactly as it is written. And I know some of you that relate to me your trials and tribulations, that you are seeing some of the exact same things as well for sharing your faith. We know the world hates us because we love them. After all, is it not written in John chapter 15, verses 18 to 21, that if the world hates you, you know that it hateth me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord? If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Jesus couldn't be any plainer than that. So expect it, brothers and sisters, especially now that the days we live in are racing towards a close. Some of you will be thrust into the front lines as well, and you too will see attacks like this and worse come upon you. Some of you will be jailed, beaten, and yes, even killed. But as you watch this ball of dirt crumbling all around you, remember that Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 27 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So, that being said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And that's, of course, Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. I really do hope that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. Please kneel, if you can. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your visible hand upon your people. Thank you for guiding us on this path you have put us on, and keeping us safe, and keeping that strong hedge of angels around us. Thank you for keeping those angels close by and your spirit within us. In the coming days, as the trials get more intense and the attacks get more obvious, please bless all those souls that we've shared your truth with. Please water the seeds that have been planted. And thank you for letting the latter rain fall upon us as well. And when we fall short, thank you for teaching us to confess and repent. Thank you so much for forgiving us and cleansing us. We uplift this prayer to you. In the name of your precious Son, our Lord, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.